And that's, we're on 94.7 The Pulse. That's Life. We have on the phone our health and wellness guru, Steph Kakaris. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, Brett. Good morning, Rob.
Rob's not, he's got to realise he's just got to put headphones on to hear you.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Feeding
morning,
you reckon?
Morning, Steph. Sorry about that. Oh. I was just befuddled for a minute.
Mm.
Welcome back. Lovely to hear your voice again after such a long time.
Thank you. Lovely to be back.
And I'm sure you've got another world of wisdom up there in that head of yours that you can make people's lives better, which is great. I need a bit of a guidance. How do I keep up and about now that I'm a pensioner?
Well, it's all about just keep doing what you think you're doing, what you think you should be doing. I mean, you know, I think a lot of aging is we imagine that because we're getting old, we should be getting slower and more achy and more problems, and it just doesn't have to be the case.
No, it's good. I'm actually pretty pleased with the way my head is about. I know it's a number
from
and
this
it's worth
side. It's not looking that good, I tell you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I feel very sharp in the mind still. I still think I've got a lot to offer for many years to come. So I'm in a pretty good headspace, to be perfectly honest.
Excellent.
Very happy about it.
Yeah.
Well, keeping yourself busy and keeping active and fit and engaged in, you know, different mental and physical pursuits is very important.
Well,
keep it or lose it.
The wife will certainly confirm the fact that I'm busy because apparently I'm never home, which is good. Out and about.
She's pretty happy you're never home too, just quietly.
But, glad you said that, Brett, not me.
Exactly, Steph. Exactly. Now, what are we talking about? Self-esteem and confidence.
Yes, self-esteem today.
What's self-esteem, Steph? That's very hard to say.
The thing I want to say about self-esteem and these feelings of self-worth is that I have not ever had a deep and meaningful conversation with someone where a really true conversation, where they feel genuinely happy in themselves. So low self-esteem and low self-worth deep down is actually a universal thing that pretty much everyone goes through. Some people more, some people a bit less, but, you know, I can't tell you how many times that I've had a coaching session with someone, especially early on, and they're like, I really honestly truly think that there's something fundamentally not quite right with me. And I'm the only one that feels that way.
Steph, when you drill down, is this a lot about where people observe someone else and think that they're better or there's something in their life that they're missing in their own?
So there's a couple of reasons for it. The primary reason, I reckon, is, you know, it comes from our education system where we're expecting all kids to be good at all things. And
it's,
you know, and if a kid's really good at the arts, then, you know, the focus is on, okay, well, they really need to practice more in their maths, science or English or whatever it is that they're not as skilled at or not as talented at. And it's good. It's good to have, you know, it's good to try hard and it's good to have some confidence across different areas, but we just don't recognise and acknowledge that we're all different. And that we all have skills and abilities in different areas and that we don't all have to be good at everything that we attempt.
Well, that's good to know.
And that's what, and then we start comparing ourselves to other people who are better at some things that we're not good at.
Steph, would you like to have more involvement in school curriculum? Because I'm really resonating with what you're saying, because I think quite often the school system doesn't identify, and not necessarily pigeonhole, but put people in areas where they're likely to blossom as opposed to forcing them to do things that they're never, ever going to excel at.
100%, Rob. 100%. And even areas that kids are excelling at, they don't see the relevance of what's in the curriculum as well. So, you know, they might be really good at maths, but they're like, Mum, when am I ever really going to be using this, you know, high quality sort of really difficult maths that I'm doing unless I'm going to go and be a mathematician and you know, be a mathematical researcher. So, you know, I really believe that there are two aspects of that. There's like, we need to acknowledge kids much more for what they're actually really good at and show them how that's going to help them in their life. And secondly, we need to, you know, make what they are good at a lot more relevant and show them, you know, how they're going to be able to use this doesn't matter for all the curriculum. It needs to be a lot more relevant to kids. Culture has moved so incredibly since I went to school, for instance, and really the curriculum's really not very different.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Because, you know, in the old days it was English and maths and that was about it, really. There were the
reading, writing and arithmetic.
Yeah. And now they've got to do all this other... I think some of it's irrelevant for their lives.
Yeah.
A lot of the
but
stuff.
But it was irrelevant when I was at school, though. Mm. It's even more irrelevant, I think, because we live in a world of technology and computer games and, you know, I really think there needs to be some young, creative people in there where, you know, developing, learning things that where the kids can still learn but they can have fun at the same time.
A lot of these seemingly irrelevant things would be centred around educating the brain, training the brain, opening pathways, etc. But I think there should be a lot earlier focus on things that are going to be relevant to life skills. And one of the things I've been banging on about for quite a while in my new industry of banking, and I've only been in a very small amount of time, but when we speak to young people straight out of school that have little or no understanding of basic banking needs is astounding to me, when I would have thought it'd be a major part of a standard curriculum.
I totally agree, Rob. I couldn't agree more.
I find it really, really frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Basic, really basic life skills like basic money management and budgeting and what's a credit card and what's interest and what's compound interest.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can remember doing a little bit of it myself, but banking was very simple back in my day, but now it is quite complicated. There's a lot of things on offer, and just understanding the importance of saving and budgeting, because young people don't have that concept at all. They'll come in and they've saved up $1,000 and they want to buy a house and wonder why they can't do that.
Really?
It's true.
And a part-time job.
And people spend money because they think that that's going to improve their self-worth. So if they drive a flashier car or, you know, they've got flashier clothes or things like that, then, you know, that's often an indication of low self-esteem, that they feel like they need to have the material things to help pick themselves up, to help make them look good in the eyes of their social network and that kind of thing. So, yeah, money can be very much caught up in that. You know, we're not prepared to sacrifice those things so that we can save more and then get ahead and, you know, buy a property. And, you know, it really annoys me, all this talk about properties being really expensive. Whilst they are, people also are not prepared to make sacrifices to put the money away over a long period of time to work really hard, work a second job, or, you know, live at home for a little bit longer, or share with someone, or, you know, just to do what it takes. And it's like, oh, well, you know, they'd rather live their high life and have no money and then complain that they can't afford anything.
Mm. Well, I think, Steph, to a lot of young people nowadays, it makes me sound really old, but they're going, well, I want my first house to be in sort of Northcote or something, and, you know, I'll pay $800,000, $900,000 for it. And you go, hang on, why don't you live out a bit and sort of build your way back in?
Exactly right.
Like your parents did.
We lived in Ferntree Gully when I was a very young tacker.
There wasn't much at Ferntree Gully back then, was there?
There was not much at all. But I look back when I was working at Northcote in the 80s as a young policeman. The houses there were like $25,000,
$30,000. Gee, you are old, Brett.
Yeah, thank you, Steph. that was what they called just a single-fronted weatherboard home in sort of, you know, whatever street. I was going to mention a street, and I thought, no, I won't do that street. I thought, why didn't I buy about a dozen houses back then? And I'd be a trillionaire now, because they're all over $1 million each.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, real estate in that part of the world, even down here in G-Town. But again, people, and this gets part of the self-esteem thing, Steph, image-wise, needing to be like the others, feel it, thinking that will fulfil the self-esteem. If other people think I'm good, then I'll be good. But it's not like that, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. And people, and, you know, a lot of, there's just so many people that are just walking around unhappy with themselves in their core.
Mm.
And, you know, we think if only we were more beautiful, or if only we were thinner, or if only we were wealthier, or if only we were smarter in a certain area, that we'd be happy with our lives. But
we've got to go to news very quickly, Steph. So, secret answer. How... how do you make someone like themselves? Because that's the issue. It used to be a bad thing to be in love with yourself, but really, to function in life, you have to love yourself.
Well, you have to at least be open to the possibility. Well, you have to recognise that you're good at some things and that you're not good at other things and be okay with that. But to really acknowledge what you are good at, because we don't. We just focus on what we're not good at.
Mm. Focus on the positives, not the negatives.
Yeah, and think about, you know, all your friends and people who really love you for who you are. What do they actually really like about you? And, you know, to acknowledge that.
Mm, I do ask myself that sometimes.
Been doing a lot of that lately, Steph, preparing for a big birthday party Sunday, reflecting on 60 years. What have I done? What have I achieved? What do I mean?
What's the meaning of life?
What is the meaning of life? It's very interesting.
The meaning of life is just to enjoy life.
Rather than focusing on ticking over the boxes like what have I done and how much wealth have I accrued and all this kind of stuff, what about how kind are you and how nice a person are you? You know, it's about who you are rather than the external world of what you do. It, to me, is more important. And that they're the things that we don't value enough in our culture.
Oh, that's very true.
And what I've also covered is a lot of people who have influenced me and how much I appreciate what they've done. And I think I try very hard now to help others for that same reason, because I've been greatly, greatly enriched by many other people.
Mm. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. And don't assume that someone who seems to have this wonderful life, you know, is doing all fantastic inside, because it's just not the case. So, yeah, stop comparing yourself to other people. You don't know what's going on for them. Just, you know, acknowledge yourself for the good things that you do and what you're good at, and enjoy your friends and family and be grateful for everything that you have.
Well, very good advice.
Very wise words from the great lady, isn't it?
The parents out there, you know, kids get 6 negative messages for every 1 positive in general. That's what research has shown. So parents out there, and that's at home and at school, make sure that you give your kids a lot of, you know, encouragement and praise for those things that they're really good at and for trying.
Yeah. Steph, we've got to go to the news.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next time we'll talk about specifically about confidence, because that's
love it.
A slightly separate issue.
Thanks, Steph.
Good day.
See you, Steph. Bye. Good luck. Bye-bye.